My guest at this time is North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest. He joins me now to bring some clarity to the fierce debate over HB2. That is the legislation approved by the North Carolina State House and Senate and signed into law by Governor Pat McCrory. The legislation, which was in response to a transgender bathroom policy adopted by the city of Charlotte, once again reiterates that public accommodation laws are to be decided only at the state level. And it once again clearly stated that when it comes to public accommodations, people who are born as boys will go to the men's room and people who are born as girls will go to the ladies' room. And Lieutenant Governor Forrest, thanks very much for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me on. I appreciate the opportunity to set the record straight.
Great. Well, let's start with exactly why HB2 was advanced.
Well, yeah, let's go to the beginning, I guess. You know, this isn't something the General Assembly brought up at all. It's something the city of Charlotte, in fact, the city council in Charlotte, North Carolina, brought this up. And really against legal counsel's advice and against advice of a lot of folks, they went beyond their constitutional authority and tried to create a public accommodation law in the city of Charlotte. And that is expressly a responsibility of the state government. The city of Charlotte, and in fact, municipalities don't have the legal authority based on our constitution to establish public accommodation law in the state. And so the giant loophole in this, the idea was that they wanted to provide bathroom access of anybody's gender identity to whatever bathroom that they wanted to go into to appease the transgender community in Charlotte. And the giant loophole they created was that this ordinance would then allow any person to enter any bathroom at any time. So a man can enter a women's bathroom, a women's locker room, a shower facility. They could enter a girl's locker room, a girl's bathroom. A sexual predator could enter in there. Somebody that is a pedophile could go into a girl's or a women's bathroom. And in fact, the shame of it is, I mean, one of the top stories that never got published by the media, they didn't want to tell you this, is the person that the man who is pushing this through the Charlotte City Council, not a member of the City Council, but a citizen of Charlotte, is actually a registered sex offender. He served time for being a pedophile. And it's shameful. Our goal is a state government, is actually any government, primary function is to protect its citizens. And so what HB2 did was say that men have to use men's rooms and women have to use women's rooms in the state of North Carolina.
So what do you make of the blowback here? Let's start from the LGBT, who say that this discriminates against them because they genuinely identify as a gender that's different than their anatomy would suggest.
Well, the bill is very clear. One of the things that the bill did was create a statewide public policy against public accommodation discrimination, and for the first time in state history. And so basically we said you have to use the bathroom of your birth certificate unless you have a sex change surgery. You get your birth certificate changed, you can go into that bathroom. But it also provides the opportunity for single stall unisex bathrooms anywhere that you want to place them. And what it did, what the Charlotte ordinance did, is they said that the business community had to comply with this ordinance. So basically they made it an offense. They'd say it was sex discrimination to have men's room and women's room labels on your doors. Basically, you're going to have to take those off. And the way that the bill came out was it said, you know, businesses, you can do whatever you want. We're not telling a business what to do. We're telling the public what they have to do. The government can't do this, and public schools can't do this. They have to have bathrooms assigned to biological sex.
We've heard a lot of loud commentary from the business community as well. Perhaps the most famous story is the NBA reevaluating whether they have the All-Star game in Charlotte next year. Overall, did you get a lot of blowback from the business community, or are there just a few of them that had the megaphone?
No, listen, it's the same cast of characters that we've seen before. We saw the same cast of characters in Houston when Houston dealt with this problem and had to turn down the same kind of ordinance a year or so ago, however long it was. Same cast of characters we saw during our marriage amendment battle here in North Carolina. It's being driven by folks like the Human Rights Campaign, who has a significant in with human resources departments at these companies, who then have an in with their diversity team at these companies as well, and they write a letter and they give it to a CEO or an executive, and that executive signs it and sends it out to their employees. And it's unfortunate, because I've talked to a couple of these folks, some of these executives at these firms, and I called them up when I heard about the letters they sent out to their thousands of employees telling them how North Carolina was discriminating against the transgender community, the LGBT community in North Carolina, and how they just weren't going to tolerate it. And I'd call them up and say, have you even read the bill? And they said no, hadn't even read the bill, but they were handed this to send out to their employees. So, you know, it's a shame that that's the way it works, but that is the way it works. And it's unfortunate, but, you know, the NBA, it's interesting how the irony of that is that, you know, there's the NBA and the WNBA. They don't allow men to play in the WNBA, and I'm sure they don't allow men to go into the women's locker room after the games of the WNBA either, but they somehow think that North Carolina is discriminatory because we want to protect women and children from predators in the bathroom.
Lieutenant Governor, you mentioned a number of reasons why you believed HB 2 was important at the beginning of our conversation, the two biggest ones being that municipalities don't have the right to make those decisions. It's up to the state, as you pointed out, and also the potential harm that could happen with the folks deciding on their own which restroom to go to. Which one was the greater motivating factor, if in fact one of them was, going forward, the legality of the law or the potential harm that could be caused?
Well, certainly the harm. I mean, our job, again, is to protect the citizens of our state. That's all the citizens of our state. You know, I think that what this bill did was it created accommodation for people that are transgender, for people that certainly view their gender differently than other folks. And I think there's plenty of room in America for that kind of accommodation. But really what this leftist ideology and this leftist agenda says is you better subscribe to our way of thinking or we are going to come after you. And they don't let up. They just keep on coming. And that's really unfortunate that people can't sit down in a room and figure out how to get along and make these things happen. And that's what we did with this bill. We said, you know what, if you are a member of the transgender community, you can, if you go fully through the process of being a transsexual, then you go get your birth certificate changed, you go to whatever bathroom you are assigned at that point based on your birth certificate. But if you're transgender and you're going through this phase of your life, then you can use a single-stall unisex facility anywhere. And again, we didn't tell companies what to do. Charlotte did that. And we said, no, you can't, City of Charlotte, create public accommodation law for the businesses in our state like that and tell them what they have to do. But, you know, again, the point is safety and security of women and girls especially. And we have had multiple calls from women who had been sexually abused in a bathroom, in a facility like that, who were literally being traumatized by even the thought of that going into law in North Carolina. So we stepped up to address it because it was going to go into effect and become the law in Charlotte on April 1st. That's why we had to go into special session to do that.
Last topic for Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest of North Carolina here. Sir, we've covered a number of issues that are important to social conservatives. Just yesterday, we talked about the religious freedom debate in Georgia, and there's been similar debates in other states around the country. And oftentimes, social conservatives are frustrated that those who promise to stand up for them don't do so. That's certainly the case in Georgia. North Carolina, in the past few days, while you're getting a lot of blowback from the left, you're getting a lot of praise from the right, who very much wanted you to do this. So was there any sort of internal debate about whether this would be a tough vote or whether this would be politically advantageous or disadvantageous? Talk about kind of how you went through that aspect of it.
Well, you know, I don't really think in those terms about the political advantage of these things. My philosophy is you do the right thing, and you will never go wrong by doing the right thing. There may be consequences to pay for doing the right thing, and those consequences may be political, and there may be a group of people that say, we don't want you to be our lieutenant governor again. I'm fine with that. If I do the right thing, I really don't care about the blowback or whether I get elected again, but I do feel very confident that we did the right thing. In fact, I'm positive we did the right thing protecting women and children. So the political consequences of it were never part of it. It's always hard when you do the right thing. I mean, that's just the way it is. That's why not so many people do it politically all the time. And so we knew it was right. And so, no, we didn't really have that debate, but I'm sure the debate was going around for a lot of people, you know, because the blows do come. and it's hard to stand firm. It's hard to stand your ground. There's no doubt about it. Nobody likes people saying bad things about them, right? But the real shame of it is people don't care about the truth anymore. The truth doesn't matter in America anymore, and that's really unfortunate because all of the debate that's coming against HB2 in North Carolina is based on a bunch of fictitious matter that's being derived from some of this leftist ideology and agenda, and that's just, I think, a real shame.
Sir, thank you very much for your time today. We appreciate you bringing a lot of clarity to what's going on in North Carolina. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for having me on. I hope you have a great day.
You too, sir. North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest, I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.